Dave, am I on? Definitely on. Okay, I'm going to move this one. Well, good morning. My name is John. I know some of you, but some of you I don't know. And that's a good thing. We actually started coming to Pine Grove in 2004. My wife and my kids and I. And my kids kind of grew up here, went to Sunday school, went to youth group, got experience in leading things. Both my kids did some worship leading. We were nomadic a bit. We kind of followed the work, and so we've moved around a bit. And right now I'm in Winnipeg. Debbie is actually here. My wife is here. She moved here at the beginning of March. So I'm quite privileged to come back and talk. You will see me on a regular basis. Coming and going until we figure out what we're doing exactly. But as you heard, one of my kids is getting married in August. Ross is. My daughter actually is going to come and preach here 3 weeks from now, I think, and maybe the second Sunday in August. So she'll be better than I am. I'll just tell you that. So what I want to talk today to you about is, so this is your favorite Bible stories, and I mean there's lots of great Bible stories, and I talk about. I mean I had lots to pick from, but one I want to talk about today is about, it's just a short parable in Matthew. It's actually just one verse, and I'm going to read you three verses. It's Matthew 13, but it's about a treasure hidden in the field. I brought my treasure box with me over here today. Matthew chapter 13, and this is kind of a series of parables that Jesus is telling. And right in the middle of it, near the end, there's a couple of little short verses, which we usually read and we think, oh yeah, that's a good one. And what I want to do is take a look at one of those today. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44, 45, and 46. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went and sold everything he had and bought it." I looked at those two verses and I think, am I like that? Do I feel the kingdom of heaven is something that's that valuable, something that I would sell everything else I had for? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I ever felt that way. But it's a question to think about. Okay, how excited do we get about the kingdom of heaven? Do we, in fact, maybe a little crazy. Like, this guy sold everything he had to buy this treasure. Does that make any sense? Do we ever feel that way about something? Do we ever feel like there's something there that we can't not have? We need to have it so badly that we would do all kinds of things to get there to get it. And Jesus says that's how the kingdom of heaven should be. And a while ago, I was thinking through this passage and thinking about this story, and what I want to do today is walk you through the story and help you understand what that must have been like. Now, this is a parable, so it's not a true story. It's a story that has truth in it, so it didn't actually happen. But I had to think through, what would this really be like? But as I was thinking about it, I thought of one other verse, and that's in Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation, if you know the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus is talking to John, who wrote the book, and he said, okay, I want you to send letters to various churches. And the first one he sends is to the church in Ephesus. And in Revelation chapter 2, he writes to the church of Ephesus, and he said, you know what, you guys are great. You guys have held strong to the truth. You've worked hard, you've persevered, you haven't got carried away by wicked people. You focused on the important things. And then in verse 4 of chapter 2 in Revelation, he says, but this one thing I hold against you. You've forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. He says, think about the fact that you've kind of lost that fire. You've lost that. So that's going to be my sermon today. It's about a treasure hidden in a field. Somebody who would sell everything they have to get it. Do we have that kind of fire at all about the kingdom of heaven? And did we ever have it? And maybe we've lost it and we need to reignite some of that. So that's my sermon. So thanks for coming. So actually what I want you to do is indulge me a little bit here. I'm going to pull this out a little bit. What I'm going to do is try and walk through this story and think about what it would be like. What would it be like? And what I'm going to do is, I made this up. I imagined what this must be like. And I'm going to be the guy who comes home from work to tell his wife that they're going to sell everything they have to buy a field that has a treasure in it. So bear with me for a minute while I get myself ready. But it's not... whenever I've read this passage, you kind of read it and think, okay. But I want you to think about what it's like, and I feel a little bit like Mr. Rogers here. I'm getting myself ready. Okay, so I'm going to come home from work. I'll come in this way. It's less traffic. Oh, can't get out there. So you just have to imagine that I'm coming in. Honey, I'm home. Did you know it's going to rain out there? It's really humid. Okay, that's why you brought in the laundry. I am home early. No, I didn't get fired. I actually left. I talked to Mr. Rubin, my boss, and asked if I could leave early because I had an appointment. Well, no, I do have an appointment. No, I'm not lying. No, I didn't get fired. No, I have an appointment with you. I know you're my wife, and I don't need an appointment with you, but I need to talk to you. There's something really important I want to tell you about. There is a point to what I'm saying, okay? So yes, I do. I discovered something today, and I need to talk to you about it. Now, you know Mr. Rubin, right? He's a good boss. You know, I've worked for him for a long time. You know, he's got that farm, and I work with him there. And you remember, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, he bought kind of a corner right beside his farm. There had been a little farmhouse and some land there, and he bought that a while ago. And there used to be a house there. There was a well. There were some olive trees, and there was kind of a field. Well, we started farming that field, and we kind of looked at the rest of the stuff and thought, sometime we'll work on that. And I said to him a little while ago, I said, Mr. Rubin, and he's a good guy. He listens to what I say. I said, I bet you those olive trees, we could get those growing and again and get some life in them and get some olives out of those. And he kind of laughed at me, and he said, he said, you could work on that when we don't have other things to do. And so I've been, we planted the crops here a few weeks ago. They're growing. There's not much we can do there. We weed a bit, but I have some time. So I started working on digging around those olive trees and seeing if we can get those olive trees growing again. Now, I don't know if you remember that land. It's kind of at a crossroads. It used to be, I think it was the Benjamins owned it. I think it was Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin. They lived in there. They had a little house. They had a well. They had these olive trees. And I remember it as a kid because I remember going over there. They used to be, because there was I think it was after Mrs. Benjamin died, there was traders that would come and set up kind of on the corner there and sell stuff. I remember they sold spices. They sold silks. I think they traveled back and forth to Arabia and other places. My mom used to send me to buy dates from them because we couldn't grow our own dates. And I remember going and buying them, and usually they'd give me one to eat on the way home. And I'd come home with my basket of dates that my mom had got me to buy. And those guys, they had camels. I think they must have watered them at the well and maybe put them in the field to eat. Or sometimes there were donkeys there, but they were there quite a while. They did business there. And Mr. Benjamin, I guess, let them do that. And then he died. Can't remember, but I think they stayed around for a little while after he died, but Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin didn't have any kids, so that land went to one of the nephews or something like that. And, there haven't been anybody there for a long time, and basically the house has fallen down, and the stones have fallen into the well, and it's kind of a mess. And so Mr. Rubin wanted to buy that land, and it took him a while to find the nephews and convince them to buy it, but he bought it a few years ago. So I've been working on these olive trees, and so I've been digging up around the roots, And I collected, Mr. Rubin has goats, so I've been collecting all the dung from the goat pen and putting it outside so I can put it down around the roots of the olive trees. He laughs at me a bit, Mr. Rubin does, but I've been working hard at it. And there's lots of rocks and there's lots of stuff around them. I'm trying to figure out how to prune those trees. I think your uncle, Uncle Aram, I think he knows something about olive trees. I'm going to have to, yes. Okay, yes, though there is a point to what I'm telling you. Okay, but I do. I want to figure out how to prune those trees because what Mr. Rubin told me was that if we can get on all of crop off that, that he and I would split the profits on top of my wages, which would be great. But today, yes, come back to today. So today I'm digging around those olive trees, and I'm down in there, and he said, you know, it's there's roots and there's rocks, and I'm digging. It's hard work. And I'm digging, and I hit something, and I think it's a rock. And I hit it a couple times, but it didn't sound right. And I hit it again a couple times, and it kind of sounded hollow. And I hit it again. I thought, okay, I wonder what that is. So I started digging around a bit more. I had to move some rocks. I had to cut back some of the roots to try and get in there, to try and find this, what was down there. And I started reaching down, and I got in there, and I could feel something, and it was like wood, but it was like carved wood. And I could feel it, and I thought, okay, what is that? So I started digging out more and more, and I got the dirt back, and I pulled the roots back, and I got the rocks out of the way, and I found it looked like a box, and it was kind of like 2 cubits one way and 1 cubit the other way, kind of this big. So then I tried to lift it up, and I couldn't lift the box. It was too heavy, or it was stuck in there, and I was trying to lift it, and I couldn't get it up. So I thought, okay. So I took my shovel, and I kind of stuck it in underneath, and I tried to pry it out. I started breaking the wood, and I was a little worried about that. So I pried it a little bit, got my fingers in there, pried some more, pushed down, and little by little, I got it loosened up places, and I pulled it open, and you know what was there? There was a box. A box, and you know what was in it? Now, you're going to say a treasure map, aren't you? Well, you're close, but no, there's no map, just treasure. I reached in there, and I stuck my hand in, and there was like silver coins and gold coins. There was some jewelry. There were some silver goblets. There was some gold thing. There was all, and it was probably deeper than my hand. So think about that. So it's about this big by this big, and it's deeper than my hand, and it's all treasure. I pulled up the lid and looked at it, and on the inside of the lid, there's kind of scratches and writing, and I'm trying to think, I couldn't read it, but I was trying to figure out, okay, are they accounts? Like, did people pay money and they were keeping track? Or maybe it was whoever put it in there was sort of sorting out who gets what share of that treasure. I don't know where it came from, but I'm thinking maybe it was those traders had left it down there under the ground and hid it and left it there. No, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell Mr. Reuben. I didn't tell anybody. What I did was when I found it, I had to put the lid back on, covered back up, put rocks on top, and then I threw all that goat manure on top because I figured nobody's going to touch it then. And then I said, Mr. Reuben, I had to go home. I had an appointment. I came home to talk to you. That's more money than I've ever seen in my life, and it's there under those olive trees, and nobody knows it but me, well, me and you now. So all the way home, I've been thinking, what am I going to do? Well, it's not Mr. Reuben's. It was there before he bought that land. It's really nobody's. Maybe it's those traders, but they're not coming back because that's got to be at least 25 years since they've been there. Or if they come back, they'll never find it again. I know that's it's a box full of treasure, and it could be ours. But what I want to do is buy that land. Mr. Reuben had told me at some point, he said, you know, once we get those olive trees growing again, he said we could fix up the well. And there was a place, there used to be a house, maybe somebody would want to buy that. He said he'd be willing to sell that corner of the land. And I'm thinking maybe I could buy that corner of the land. I know, we don't have a whole lot of money. We got a little bit of savings, I know that, but I was trying to figure out, on the way home, I'm trying to figure out, okay, where could I get enough money? So I'm thinking, okay, well, remember we lent your brother money for that boat so he could fish. I think we lent him about 15 shekels. I think it's time to get that money back. I know he didn't make a whole lot of money fishing, but I think he still got the boat. Well, I don't care what he does. He can either sell the boat and give me the money back, or he can borrow the money from somebody else. But I want to go see him and tell him I need that money back, because that's 15 shekels. Yeah, I was talking to when Mr. Reuben was talking about selling, he thought maybe 200 shekels, something like that, would buy that land. So, okay, yeah, okay, that's 15. Okay, that's a start. What do we have for savings, like 20 or 25? Five. Okay. So our savings aren't as big as I thought. Okay. So I got 15 from your brother. I'm going to go see him tonight. I got five that we have in savings. My Uncle Saul has always said that if I wanted to borrow money, he could help me. If we ever needed help, I want to go talk to him. Maybe, I can't go tonight, but maybe right after the Sabbath, I'll go and see him. I bet he would lend me 100. I know, it's 100, but it's just going to be short term, because all I need is the money enough to buy that land, and then I can get that treasure, and I'll pay him back. It's short term. And he probably doesn't have 100 shekels himself, but he could borrow some from some friends. And I'm sure he could find 100 shekels in pretty short term, and as long as we paid him back with a little bit of interest. I could do that. So, okay, so if I could get that, so that's 100 from him, that's 15 from your brother, that's 5 in our savings. Okay, what else do we have? We have those 2 sheep. I know, we were raising those sheep for sacrifices later, but we can buy other sheep for sacrifices. Okay, we can sell those sheep. I don't know, what's a sheep worth? Maybe 8, well, let's say between the two of them, it's 15 shekels, okay? You keeping track of this? So I got 100 from Uncle Saul, I got 15 from your brother, I got 5 from our savings, so we're at 120, I got 15 for the sheep. What else do we have? Okay, we've got dishes. I know you got some of the dishes from your grandma. I understand that, and we got some for our wedding. But just think, we could sell those dishes, maybe get, what we get for the dishes? Maybe 10 shekels for the dishes? There's that pawn guy just outside of town, that pawn shop guy. He might be able to give us 10. What else do we have? We could sell the bed. I know it's kind of a cheap bed, but 5 shekels for that. Okay, so... Okay, and, well, we got the bed linens. I know you save money to buy the bed linens, but just think, if we had the treasure, we would buy better bed linens than that. So, I don't know, how much did you spend on those bed linens? Really, 20? 20 shekels? What do you think, if we sold them slightly used, we could sell them maybe for 15? Okay, somebody keeping track here? I need somebody who's good at math. So I got 100, I'm going to borrow from my uncle. I got 15, so what's that? 115, good job, somebody's good at math. I got 5 for savings, that's 120. I got 2 sheep I'm going to sell for 15, so that's 135. I'm going to sell the bed linens for 10, it's 145. I got a bed, that's 150. So if I can sell the bed for 5, that's 150. Okay, so what else do I have? Let me think. Okay, so I have a few tools that kind of used a little bit, well, maybe 7, maybe I can get $7 for those, I could sell my tools. What are we at? 157? Okay. What else do I own? What else could I sell? Oh, yeah. I have that robe that I wear, like, at Passover and weddings and things like that. I could sell that. Yeah, I think we bought it for 12. Okay, used maybe 8. So I sold that one. That's 8. So what are we at now? 165? 165, okay. Okay, that gets us closer. What else do I have? Okay, well, tables and chairs. We can sell the tables and chairs. Well, no, we don't need them because we don't have any dishes. We can't even cook, so. Look at that, could be another 10. So what are we at now? 175. Okay, so, I know. Well, I don't know what we'll do to eat. We'll eat at your mother's. We'll eat cold food. We'll eat something. Okay, so now we've got rid of the tables and chairs. No, I won't sell your clothes. I don't have very many clothes that are worth anything. I know, and we're only renting the house, but that's, I mean, if we can get that place, we could, okay, so I'm at 175. What else do we have? My mom and dad don't have any money. My brother never has any money. I really can't borrow money from the neighbors. What else do we have? 175. I'm close. We're so close. I could get this one. Wait. I don't have any kids. I haven't been married that long. Wait a minute. What do you have in your hand? No, not in your hand, on your hand. Your ring. Can I have your ring? Give me your ring. Take the wedding ring off. No, I know. No. I'm not. I don't want to. I want to stay married to you. Yes, I still love you, but I want your wedding ring. That wedding ring would get us over the 200. Really? No, I don't know. Tell people you broke it and it's at the goldsmith's and it's getting fixed. I know people will ask, but, well, it's almost true. I mean, once we get that treasure, we could go to the goldsmith's and get you another ring. Can I have the wedding ring? Okay, just a minute. So that would get us. So I had 175 of that. I'm sure we can get 25 for that. Okay, so you start packing the dishes, you fold up your linens, you get the ring off, I'm going to see your brother, and I'll have 100, I'm going to go buy them, I'm going to get that treasure back. Worked that time. So is he crazy? Is that crazy? Sell everything you have, go buy a field. Jesus says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. You would take everything you had, your dishes, your bed, your linens, your clothes, your wedding ring, and sell it all to get the kingdom of heaven. When I started thinking about that, I thought, wow. I mean, part of it speaks to me about my priorities. Where are my priorities? What's important to me? And there's 2 parts to that. One part is in my head. what do I think about and where do I think about that? And part of it's in my heart. Like, how do I feel about the kingdom of heaven? Do I have a love for the kingdom of heaven like that? That verse in Revelation, you've lost your first love. I think, did I even have a love like that at the beginning? I think lots of us do. When we first come to Christ, we get excited and we're all excited about it. And then over time, we kind of just get into the habit of the Ephesians. We do a good job. We stay away from wickedness. We persevere. We work hard. But Jesus says, do you have that passion? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, so it was exciting for him, he went and sold all he had and he bought that field. Were you ever crazy like that for God's kingdom? Are we crazy like that now? Well, that's my sermon. That's the question I want to leave you with. Do you have a desire to be like that with Jesus, to sell everything you have, to put aside things that aren't important and focus on the important things?